Months ago, I planned on moving to the Sermon on the Mount this morning. And the Lord, even a couple of weeks ago as I began, just had me back up from where we had ended and to recover a few scriptures. And it just seems to be so appropriate. I think God just had it in heart and mind that this is what we needed today. I'm going to share with you a word about worry. Not how to do it, but how to come from it. Amen? Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to go to that section of Scripture that I know you know very well. You know the verse 25 of chapter 6 that says, you know, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear, etc. But even before we get there, I just felt like God told me to back up there. So we're going to leave that scripture up there. But I want you to see that first word. What does it say? Anytime we see that word, what are we supposed to do? Go back in the scripture to see what it's there for. I want you to back up. I want to read to you from verse 19 and 20 and verse 24. Then we're going to go to 25. Listen to what it says. Just a few verses before this, Christ Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Can you agree with that? Verse 24 says this. This is looking back for the therefore. Don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth, but lay them up in heaven. He says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he's going to hate the one and love the other, or else he's going to be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That's what it says. Therefore, now we get to where we are today. Therefore, don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. You cannot serve two masters. Quit serving the world and its stuff. Therefore, you know where we're at now? Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Now listen, long before he gets to what you're going to eat and what you're drinking, what you're going to wear, where you're going to sleep, what kind of shelter you have. He said, don't worry about your what? Your life. Folks, underline that. Highlight that. Circle it. Don't worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. You know this scripture? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, by worrying, can you grow one inch? By worrying, can you add one day to your life? So why do you worry? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, in other words, unbelievers. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Stop. Back up. Your heavenly Father, what? Knows that you need all these things. Do we think God forgets? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry. I'm going to back up and read that again. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And all God's people said, amen. Father, would you use your word to bolster our hearts, edify us, build us up, Lord, with your truth. We are so thankful that you do not leave us barren. You don't leave us without a word, and we've got it right here, Lord. Right when we need to be worried about what's going on in this world, you've provided us a message that says, don't worry. Father, we are going to look to you for that help because we need it from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? Now, why do you think God says don't worry? Don't worry. Be happy. Right? Don't worry. Why in the world does God say don't worry? Let me tell you some reasons that God says that you shouldn't worry. First of all, God says don't worry, and so that's good enough. But worrying causes us to make some foolish decisions. Amen? It really does. Foolish decisions result in painful consequences, and painful consequences rob us of our faith. Whenever we make a dumb decision, we pay for it. And when we pay for it, we begin to lose faith, going, well, what's going on? Did God forget me? What's going on? Does God not care? Did you realize, listen to me, here's one you need to take home today. Do you realize that there will be no worry in heaven? No worry in heaven. That is your spiritual birthright with God. No worry in heaven. If that's the case, are we not supposed to be living heaven on earth? I know it's not the same. But folks, we are supposed to be living in the promises of God right here, right now. Amen? With that understanding, we now have the right then to live worry-free on this earth. And not only that right, friend, but the responsibility. Because when we live in worry, we do not trust God. When we do not trust God, we do not live according to His Word. When we don't live according to His Word, we are not kingdom living. And when we're not kingdom living, we're no good on this earth. Did you know this? Jesus Christ Himself taught more about worry than He did about adultery or murder. More. Let's just take a quick bird's eye view of the scripture we just read. Are you ready? You got your pens ready? We're gonna rip through this real quick. Verse 25 says, life is more than food. Food is more than clothing. Verse 25. Verse 26, God feeds the birds and you are more valuable than they are. Verse 27, worry is pointless. It adds not one hour to your life or one good thing to your living. Verse 28 through 30 says, God clothes the fleeting grass. If God puts such beauty in something that is withered up in just moments, surely He's going to take more care with you. Verse 31, unbelievers are anxious about stuff. You know stuff. All the stuff. Unbelievers are worried about stuff. But dear friend, you're not an unbeliever. Are you going to do the same kind of worrying that they do? Verse 32 says that your Father knows that you need things that you're anxious about. Verse 33 says that when you prioritize your personal righteousness, what you need, not necessarily what you want, but when you actually prioritize your personal righteousness before God, He gives what you need. Not just what you want, but it's freely given to you. And then verse 34 is one that we could preach a lot of sermons on. I'm not going to do it this morning. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And all God's people said, amen. Folks, God's word tells us a lot about worry. God's word tells us a lot about anxiousness. God's word says, be anxious for nothing. And we're going to get to that scripture in Philippians chapter 4 in just a little bit. But he says, be anxious for nothing. Now, that doesn't mean not to be concerned. Are you listening to me? Now, don't you misquote me. Pastor said it's okay to worry. No, he's not. He's telling you that God's word says you should not worry. And the Bible says do not be anxious, which literally that word anxious means to wring your hands. Are you with me? So in other words, we should take concern. We should look for the trouble that is ahead and be prepared. That's what God's word says. But it doesn't say that we're to sit around worried about something we can do nothing about. Do what you can and leave the rest to the Lord. Now, as a Christian, our life is about staying kingdom focused. We approached this just a little bit ago. God gives us all the strength that we're going to need for today. He says, I will strengthen you for today. You remember the Lord's Prayer. Remember the model prayer. Give us this day our food for the week. Nope. Give us this day our food for the year. God, put in the bank enough for tomorrow. What does it say? Give us this day our daily bread. We're not supposed to be worried about tomorrow. God, take care of us today. God gives us the strength that we need also for the day. Be anxious for nothing, the scripture said, and pray about everything. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. You give me the first answer, you give me the second answer. It says, be anxious for, pray about. Have you got that? I think it's the other way around. We wind up praying about nothing and we're anxious about everything. Be anxious for nothing and pray about everything. You know what that's called? Kingdom living. Living for God. That's the way we're supposed to live. Worry knocks us out of kingdom living because we quit focusing on what God is doing and we focus on the junk that's around us. So why is worry a sin? Is worry a sin? Sure, worry is a sin. You go, well, worry's not a sin. Yes, it is. Worry is a sin. God's word says don't be anxious about anything. God's word tells us not to worry. Why is worry a sin? Because it is absolutely contrary to faith. Did you know that God's word says without faith, you cannot please God? You cannot please God without faith. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready? I would really love to get your answer out loud with this, okay? And would humor me just a bit. I know you're going, oh, Pastor, hang on. Just help me here. Do you believe that God gives us all the strength that we need for today? Does your faith say that God cares about you? Does your faith say that God can redeem you? Yes or no? Does your faith say that God can break the shackles of sin and Satan off of you? Does your faith say that God can give you eternal life? Does your faith say that it will save you from hellfires and put you into His kingdom of heaven? Does your faith say all these things? And yet you're not sure that this very same God can get you through that little thing you're facing right now? Now doesn't that kind of put it in perspective? Whatever it is, God can take care of it. Worry is a tool that is well used by the devil. Amen? Man, it's well used by Satan. Worrying causes us to make hurried and foolish decisions. Worry keeps us from waiting on God. We don't take our problem to God and we don't wait on Him. So a foolish decision results. And when we make a foolish decision, it results in painful consequences. Painful consequences rob us of our faith. And then that pain that we're in, or the problem that we're in, moves us to ask, God, where were you? God, why don't you care? God, why did you let this happen? But the problem is not with God, dear friend. The problem was with us. If we don't wait on God's direction, how can we say that it was God's fault that we moved in the wrong direction? You know what that's called? Confusion. Confusion. How can we honestly say that we believe God's word, the Bible, and then worry about God fulfilling what he says he's going to do? Oh, I believe God, but I'm worried. I believe God, but I'm not sure about today. I believe. Do we believe? You know what that's called? Confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says that God is not the author of confusion. Hello? God is not the author of your confusion. God is not the author of your mix-up. God is not the author of your difficulty when you make decisions that are not of God. And if God is not the author of it, let me ask you, who is? God's word says that Satan is the author of confusion, the father of lies. Lies. When we worry or when we're anxious, we are not allowing God to be the master of our life. Amen? When we worry, we're saying that we're the master and we've got to handle it. When we worry, we are not allowing God to be the master, and we are choosing then to be mastered by our circumstances instead of by our Lord. Does that make sense? This means yes. This means no. Does that make sense? When we worry, we're letting our circumstances master us. Who's Lord of your life? Who is master of your life? Who's in charge of your life? Did you know that the main goal of Satan is to steal your soul? You probably knew that, right? That's Satan's goal. Why? Because he wants to rob every good thing from God that he can. And God says you're a good thing for him. God loves you with an everlasting love. He wants you to be a part of his kingdom. He said that he would that every person be saved. Everyone. Satan doesn't want you saved because he wants to drag you down with him. So the main goal of Satan is to steal your soul. And if he cannot steal your soul, his then second goal is to steal your peace and your joy. Why? So that you'll be useless before God. If you don't have God's peace, if you don't have God's joy, you're probably not sharing about your Lord. If you live in fear, you don't share about God. Worry steals your peace. Worry steals your joy. I'm going to ask you again, who is the author of confusion? Not God, Satan. When you have no peace, when you have no joy, you are unusable in the kingdom of God. But if you'll walk with the Father, if you'll walk in peace, if you'll walk in his joy, if you'll walk in his trust, if you will read his word and actually apply it to your life, if you'll read his word and live it, joy and peace comes. You walk in the Spirit of God. That's what he says, walk in the Spirit of God. Now let me just ask you this. You ever had trouble walking in the Spirit of God? Let me answer that for you. Yes. Do you know why? You're a human being. So what do you need? You need God's help. You want the truth? You can't do it without God. You want the next truth? You won't do it without God. That's why we all need God's Holy Spirit. We call on him and say, Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. Help my difficulty. Help me to turn to you. Lord, strengthen me. Turn my heart to you and help me to trust you. Walking in the way of this world teaches us to trust the world. It teaches us to trust our own knowledge and the knowledge of other people. It teaches us to trust our bank accounts. It teaches us to trust our cupboards instead of the Lord God. If you start trusting the world, there's a reason to worry. Amen. Listen, no wonder many of you are worried. No wonder many of you are anxious. If you're trusting in the system of this world, you're in trouble. You've got a lot to worry about. How about you turn it over to the Lord and live for God and seek His righteousness and seek His will and His way and let Him take care of it? Not an easy thing to do in this world. And yet He's given us the way. So Christians, walk in the Spirit of God. With God's help, you can do that. And every day it takes a refocus, not once a day, but every moment of the day. Amen? How many times have you said, I'm going to walk for the Lord today? And by the time you get out the front door, you've already messed up. So you recommit. God, I'm going to walk with you today. And by the time you get to the car, and very far down the road, you probably messed up. God, I'm going to recommit it to you. Listen, every moment of the day, keep giving it back to God. Asking for God's strength. Asking for God's help. Are you ready for this one? Here's one that you need to write down. It's in your bulletin. Here's one you need to remember. I'm going to tell you this. God will not take care of our problems until we give Him our problems. He's a gentleman. He respects your yes and He respects your no. If you say, God, mine, I'm going to take care of this, He's going to let you have it. But friend, God's not going to take care of your problem until you give it to Him. Give it to Him. Years ago, my boys had a little plastic truck. Now, this is back in the day. You know that this was why. It was one of those old plastic trucks. Didn't have a motor in it. And it had wheels that were on a little axle. And it had these little tabs with a slot and a hole in it. And you popped the tires on it. Y'all remember those? A lot of you kids don't. You've had motorized everything all your life. But you older folks know what I'm talking about. It was a truck, and you could pop that wheel off and on. Well, that wheel had popped off. And my boy tried to fix it, and my boy tried to fix it, and he tried to fix it, and he tried to fix it. It kept falling off. Finally, you know what he did? He brought it over to me. He said, can you fix this? I mean, it was simple enough that even I could fix it. Snap. He's all happy. He goes to play. Listen, I don't know how many of your lives are broken and it seems like it's impossible for you to fix, but if you'll take it to the Father, snap. Hello? It's a snap for the Father. Do you know why? He's the author of life, not the author of confusion. God wants to fix what's going on. Jesus said, give me your burden. When we quit trying to mess with it, we quit trying to fix it, and we finally give up and see that we can't, if we will give it to God, He'll fix it. Jesus said, give me your burden. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You ever feel like life is just heavy? You ever feel like life is just all you can handle and then some? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. And He adds to that, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Lord. He's going to give us rest. Let me just make this statement. Releasing your worry is a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. Will you trust God? We must truly believe that God is in control. Do you believe that? Now, you can say you believe it, but do you live that? If you don't live it, you don't believe it. There was a worrier who said to their friend, they said, I'm just so afraid that something's going to happen. And their friend said, you need to have a more positive attitude. Okay, I'm positive that something's going to happen. Is that how we do it? Before anything ever occurs. So many people are like Winnie the Pooh's friend. Anybody here Winnie the Pooh fans? Oh, I'm a Winnie the Pooh fan. Grew up on Winnie the Pooh. You remember his pessimistic friend? The donkey, his name was Eeyore. And Eeyore had a philosophy of life that will just drain your energy. Listen, let me give you three quotes from Eeyore that seem so much like so many Christians today. Eeyore said, "It could be worse. I'm not sure how, but it could be." Eeyore said, "I never get my hopes up, so I'll never be let down." And then he said, "Don't worry about me. Go ahead and enjoy yourself. I'll just stay here and be miserable." Listen, if that's the kind of Christian life you've got, who really wants it? You trying to share that with other people? No, thank you. Friends, what is the primary cause of anxiety? Fear. The primary cause of anxiety is fear. Fear is the tormenting emotion that's produced by the threat of danger, whether it's real or imagined. You hear me? The danger can be real or imagined, but it is emotion, a proof that is produced by danger. Winston Churchill said this. Listen, Winston Churchill once said, "I remember the story of an old man who on his deathbed said that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened." Do you get it? He'd had a lot of trouble, most of which had never happened. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control." Listen, if you belong to Christ, He did not give you a spirit of fear. He did not give you a spirit of doubt. He did not give you a spirit of worry. He said that He gave a spirit of power, of love, and self-control. That comes from God. He is the author of life, not death and confusion. That's the other side, folks. And when you've got death and confusion, when you've got worry and anxiousness, that is not of God. Fear is an emotion that is manufactured. Listen to me. Fear is an emotion that is manufactured by Satan for the sole purpose of tormenting you. Now, I know that there are times that it's wise. When you hear a bear growl, you'd be afraid and go the other way. Good sense will teach you to go the other way. Folks, when there's nothing out there or something is just perceived, that kind of worry, that kind of fear is manufactured up by Satan to remove your senses to do what's good and right. The threat doesn't have to be real. It can all be in your imagination. "I've had trouble most of my life," he said, "most of which never happened." That's Satan's goal. To keep you off balance. Why? Why does Satan want to keep you off balance? Why does he want to keep you afraid? So that you'll make poor choices. So that you won't wait on God. And folks, that's not kingdom living. Whenever you feel afraid, whenever you feel that fear coming in, ask yourself, what am I thinking? Who am I trusting? And friend, if you do not believe to the point of trusting God, then you're already defeated. It doesn't matter what happens next. If you're not trusting God, you're done. We need to expect victory from God. That's part of what prayer is, dear friend. God, let your will be done. God, let your will be accomplished. God, use me to do what you want. Whatever it is, whether it costs me my health, whether it costs me my savings, whether it costs me my house, whether it costs me my life. God, if it's your will, I'm all in. And why would there be fear? Brenda taught me a lesson years ago, something about fear. I don't remember where it came from, but she gave me this illustration. She said that a lady came in and she was really, really worried. And they said, well, why are you worried? "Well, I don't know. I just have all this stuff. And, you know, and, well, what are you worried about?" "Well, I'm worried about life and living and stuff and et cetera, et cetera." And they said, "Well, are you a Christian?" "Yes." Well, then let's just go through it. What's the worst case scenario? If you lose your job, what's the worst case scenario? Well, we won't be able to pay our bills. Okay. If you can't pay your bills, what's the worst case scenario? Lose our house. Okay. If you lose your house, what's the worst case scenario? Nobody will take us in and we have to live under a bridge. Okay. Worst case scenario, if you're having to live under a bridge. We could lose our health or it'd be dangerous and we could die. Worst case scenario, you're going to heaven. I'm not saying I'm getting up a trip to go right now. Relax. But we might. You never know. Amen? Worst case scenario, people. If you belong to God, you're going to be with the Lord. To live is Christ, but to die is gain, Paul said. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Here's the problem. We say it, but we don't practice it. Do you believe to the point of trusting God? Then expect victory. Listen to what God says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He says, be anxious for what? Nothing. And it's going to be repeated. Be anxious for nothing. And it doesn't stop there. It gives us some things we can do. Look, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. You know what supplication means? That means yielding to God, following God, doing what God says to do. You know how you find that, don't you? In the instruction manual, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, yielding to God, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And when you do that, when you take it to Him in prayer, when you yield to the will of God, when you make your request known to God, look what it says in verse 7. Can you read? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So He doesn't just say, don't worry, be happy. He says, don't worry, bring it to Me. Cast all your burdens upon Me. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 17. This is the opposite of that. Are you ready? Cursed is the one who trusts in man. Stop. What? What happens to the man that trusts in man? Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Do you see it? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. What? It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Folks, this is not about a bush. This is not about a tree. This is about you. Amen? Will you plant yourself by God's river of life? When we trust ourselves, our hearts turn away from God. How can they not? When we trust in ourselves, when we turn from God, when we turn our back from God, how can we see God? When we turn from God, we don't see God and we don't hear from God. The world overwhelms His voice. God's Word says that if you want to hear from Him, He's going to speak to you in the what? In the lightning and in the wind and in the earthquake? No, He said in the still, small voice. Be still, He said, and know that I'm God. We don't see or hear from God, and we don't see when He brings the answer. We don't see the good that He does, even through the hardship. When we don't see God at work, our hope dries up. When we don't see God moving, we go, well, he forgot me. And we've got no hope. That's just not true. That is Satan's confusion. Once again, nothing good will grow in our life when we take our eyes off God. Trusting God means that we have confidence in God. Amen? Trusting God means we have confidence in God. My favorite story of that is the wheelbarrow guy. You've heard this one. Guy was in the city of New York between buildings. They had a 4 or 5 story building. Lots of traffic underneath, people everywhere. He went to the top, threw a cable across, tied it over to the other side, and went to the edge. People were looking up going, what is he doing? He yells down, hey, hey. Any of you believe I can walk across this cable? They all clap, yeah. The guy gets on the cable. Goes all the way across. Hey, everybody cheers. Anybody believe I can walk across this cable with a wheelbarrow? Yeah. So he gets the wheelbarrow. Goes out there, walks across. Everybody, yeah. Any of y'all believe that I can walk across this cable with a wheelbarrow with a man in it? Yeah. Who'll come up? So God says, do you trust me? Do you believe that I can take care of you? Yeah. Do you believe that I have the power over life? Yeah. Do you believe I can take care of you? Yeah. Get in my wheelbarrow. Isn't that what unbelief does? Friends, God wants you to trust in him. Get in his wheelbarrow, so to speak. Trust him. Trusting means that we have confidence in God. When we trust God, we become firmly planted, the scripture says, thriving in life. When we trust God, we don't sweat when the heat is on. When we trust God, we still bear spiritual fruit, even the times of hardship. When we trust God, we run with God, and we still bear spiritual fruit, even when everybody else is running on empty. How can we overcome worry? Tell God what you need, and then thank him as if it has already come. Then live like God will provide. If God leads you to it, God will provide. If God leads you to it, God will provide. I'm going to say it one more time, and I'm going to hope you believe it this time. If God leads you to it, God will provide. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we believe that you'll provide for the folks over in Ukraine. But Father, how do you want us to walk in your spirit here to help? God, we believe that you are the Lord of life, that nothing is greater than you. So Father, help us to live like it, and to walk like it, and to invest our time like it. Father, we know that you are in charge of all things, and we know that this is an evil world, and bad things happen to even good people. But Lord, we're never out of your hand. You'll give us the strength. You never said that you'd take us around the storm, but you did say you'd take us through it. And your promise was that you would go with us. You would never leave us nor forsake us. And that, Father, is good company. Thank you, Lord.